Well, in Acts chapter 2, the scripture that was read, we want to focus really on just one word in verse number 42. I know we read that whole section there, but we really wanted to focus on one thing. It says in the King James, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Other translations translate that phrase, "continued steadfastly," as "they devoted themselves to it." Have you ever devoted yourself to something? On Mars Hill, when Paul came there and he saw all of that, they had a god for everything. They had an idol for anything you could imagine, so much so he saw even they had one to the unknown god. But he said, "When I beheld your devotions," they were devoted to those things. I mean, you would have to be to build that many statues. But the question that we want to ask ourselves is, what am I devoted to? Where does my devotion, where is my dedication? What do I really pour my energy into? And in doing that, I want us to consider two things that are going on near this present time. Of course, today, some of you may not know and may not care, but some of you are interested in the fact that today is the Super Bowl. That's football championship game. A couple of, about 2 weeks ago, not quite 2 weeks ago, was the presidential inauguration. And everybody saw the news footage of that. And I want us to think about those two occasions, because there are a lot of similarities with them. Now, obviously, the same people that went to the inauguration are not going to be the same people that go to the Super Bowl, but we want to talk about the devotion, the dedication that people involved with those two events have or had that we need to have as Christians, that we need to have toward God. And so let's look at a few of these things. First of all, the early arrivals. People came to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration a week ahead of time. And people are already, was it Tampa Bay, Florida, I think they're playing the Super Bowl. There have been people down there for 2 weeks waiting for the Super Bowl today. They came early. And then when it actually comes time, I guarantee you, the football game doesn't start for about 5.5 or 6 more hours. But I guarantee you there are already people sitting in their spot at the stadium waiting. Now, that might not be too bad in Tampa, Florida, because I'm sure it's probably 75 or 80 degrees and everything. But I'm going to tell you something else. Did you see the coverage of that inauguration? There were people out there at 6 o'clock in the morning in the freezing cold. They waited out there for 6 hours standing in the cold. They got there early. They didn't want to miss it. And people aren't going to show up at halftime of the football game and go, "Well, I know I paid $200 for these tickets, but I'm going to just watch the second half." They're going to get there early. They want to see that. But what about church? Are we interested enough to get here on time? Now, we don't have to stand out in the cold for 6 hours. That's another thing, and I know the Super Bowl being in Florida, it's not tough, but I've seen some football games up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Somebody was telling me, I think Dolores told me, she was talking to somebody in Wisconsin, 35 below zero. Well, they play football games in weather like that up there. And you see guys out there that stand the whole game for 3 hours in 35 degrees below zero, and half the time they don't even have a shirt on. They are willing to be uncomfortable because of their dedication and devotion to that thing. Do you think it was fun to stand? I know I took the boys to Washington, D.C., and we walked around that area, and it's a big area. There aren't any chairs out there, are there? No couches, no recliners, not even any benches. Those folks stood for 6 hours, and some of them more than that, to watch that event. to be there, to say that they got to see it happen. It's a big event. Why is it we have trouble coming and sitting on a padded pew in an air-conditioned and heated building where we can be fairly comfortable for an hour or two? See, when we talk about dedication and devotion, these folks are outdoing us by a long shot. We're not dedicated to God when we won't even... Well, I'll go next week. Well, I'll show up 30 minutes late, and at least I'll hear a little bit of the sermon. That's not dedication. That's not devotion. The disciples in the first century devoted themselves. They continued steadfast. They didn't come every once in a while. They came every chance. They got together every opportunity they had. In fact, we see later on that they were continuing daily together. Every day they were getting together. So you had people showing up early. You had people, there was standing room only. Can you imagine if we had standing room only? The Super Bowl sells out every year. Every ticket is sold. We're not even charging admission. People are free to come in here. And we can't fill up the house. Some of those folks probably paid $2,000 on some of those Super Bowl tickets. And they're willing to do that to go there because they're devoted to it. We've got to have some devotion, some dedication. And then I also want us to think about the attention that is given at those events. Oh, I know some people, you know, you stand in there and you say, look at what the first lady's wearing. Or look at the, look, there's a band up there. Oh, look at the, you know, there's the honor guard up there or something like that. But they're paying attention to what's going on. How many of those folks that went to the inauguration do you suppose got there and then decided to watch the traffic going by on the side streets instead of watching what was going on? They didn't do that. How many of them do you suppose got there and then spent their time looking around at the crowd to see what everybody else was wearing? There might have been one that did that. There's always one in every group. But they don't care about that. And the same thing, too, with the football game they're going to have today. And those folks are going to be watching what's going on down the field because they don't want to miss a thing. Do we give that kind of attention to our worship to God? A lot of times we don't. We come in, we go in and out. We fall asleep and take a nap for a while. Say, well, I won't miss anything. It won't matter. We look around at everybody and what's going on. Are we paying attention to what's going on? Are we actively a part of it? These folks did not leave early. Now, there was still, at the end, there was a crowd. Now, the football game may be a little different. If it's 50-something to 10, and there's only 10 minutes left, some folks are going to leave. Some folks may be mistaken if they do that because sometimes those things turn around. But they may leave early. But with the inauguration people, there was still, at the end, there was still a crowd of people. I say a huge area. I think they estimated somewhere between 2 and 3 million people out there standing up and down. And it is a huge area. You could fit that many people. It's a lot of space out there. A lot of people were there. And some of those people were so far away. Pardon me. They were so far away that they couldn't even really see what was going on. But they wanted to be there. Now, we don't have that problem. Even if you're sitting on the back row, you can see what's going on up here at the front. So we don't have to worry about, I can't. Pardon me. Allergic to something this morning. I don't know. But we need to think about what we're giving our attention to and whether we're devoted to the church and to the Lord. Now let's think about one more thing. This is not a pleasant one for us to think about, but let's think about it nonetheless. What about the money that they spent? I've never bought a hotel room in Washington, D.C., but I can imagine that a lot of them are very expensive. And some of those folks that were there for a week or 2 weeks, not to mention the fact that some of them traveled from, I saw something about somebody came from a foreign country somewhere, came from India or Africa or something, all the way over to be there for this. That cost some money. But they thought it was worth it because they got to go and be at this event they wanted to be at. I know these folks, you know, we're talking about an economic recession and we're having economic hard times. But in the midst of that, a lot of these folks are going to that football game today and they're spending a lot of money to be down there and stay down there and to buy the ticket, and they'll buy, you know, all the hot dogs and popcorn and whatever else, nachos and I don't tell them what else at that stadium. And they've been buying, eating out in restaurants all over the place down there, having to rent hotel rooms and all those things. They've been putting all that money out. I guess they're not letting the economic hard times stop them from having a good time, are they? But it's because they're dedicated. That's what they want to do. Well, what about with our money? What do we want to do with our money? Are we going to spend our money towards the work of the church? Are we going to give our money toward God's work? Even if it means, I guarantee you, some of those people who made that trip to the Super Bowl, that was their vacation. Some of those people that went to the inauguration, that was their vacation. They're not going to take a trip to somewhere else. They spent their vacation money on that, to go do that thing. Some of them probably spent their house payment money to go. And they'll probably be a month behind on their mortgage because they decided that going to do that was more important than paying their own house payment. That may seem a little ridiculous, mightn't it? But
well, thank you. I have a it's up here. Thank you.
All right. But they're going to spend that money because they think it's worth it to spend their money on that, even if they have to give up something else. Some of them may have given up spending money on some other things that they may have wanted to spend money on. They said, no, I want to spend money on this more. Are we willing to do that? Willing to give up spending money on one thing to spend money for the church and for the Lord? A lot of times we're not. These folks were dedicated. Devotion. Actually take care of that problem once and for all. Wiping your nose just never seems to, you got to actually blow it to get anything, to get it, it'll just keep running otherwise. But then, you know, they handle things in an orderly fashion. That goes kind of what Ron was talking about with the phone ringing and, you know, and of course with people coming in late and leaving early and up and down and in and out. And, you know, and we have arrangements for those things. You know, we have a break between class and church to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, I guess to blow your nose, although that's assuming you don't start sneezing in the middle of church. Sometimes there are emergencies that come up. But generally, we have things organized so that it can be orderly. We know who's supposed to do what things and when we're going to do it, so that things can be orderly. Well, the same thing was true of the inauguration and will be of the Super Bowl. You know, you think about how much of an operation that was. I mean, you're talking about millions of people. And yet, everything seemed to go pretty smoothly. Everything was pretty orderly. They had security everywhere. But they got in. They got there. They were able to leave. Everything went smoothly. The same thing generally is true of the Super Bowl. Don't know about this year because it hasn't happened yet. But generally, with a big event like that, and that one will be much smaller. Instead of millions of people, there will only be thousands. There will probably be somewhere between 70 and 100,000 people at that event. And they'll have a big halftime show, and they'll have to coordinate all that. And you think that they'll as soon as they stop playing the game, they'll be moving stage pieces in. And it's amazing to watch how organized and how orderly they do that. Because then they're prepared, but they do that. They do it in an orderly fashion. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:40 tells us that we're things, when it comes to the church, are to be done decently and in order. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a specific order that we have to follow, but just that whatever the order is set up to be, that we stick to that, that we don't just get all chaotic. It's amazing, even, that in both of these events, even though they both, technically, I guess you would say, are secular events, there's an acknowledgement of God. They acknowledge that there is God. You'll see people in those football stands holding up signs with scriptures written on them. At the inauguration, you know, at the end of the swearing in, he says, "So help me God." You know, they may sing a song. I didn't watch all the inauguration. I had other things that I had to do that day. Anyway, I'm not nearly as devoted to that kind of thing as those folks that went and stood out there in the cold for 6 hours. I don't think I've ever watched the presidential inauguration. It's not what they would have to pay me, I think, to watch something like that. Those folks were devoted to that. They went, and there was even an acknowledgement of God. In a nation where there are lawsuits by some to try to remove God, you know, we don't even want to stay under God in the Pledge of Allegiance and all those kind of things, and yet still, they acknowledge God. And they will, at the Super Bowl as well, there will be people there acknowledging God. Well, what about us? Sometimes we come to church. We come to worship, the very place where God should be acknowledged, and we've left without ever really acknowledging Him. Oh, we may have given some lip service to it, as Matthew 23:3 says, "Look, there are those that say, but do not, that talk about it." And I think a lot of times in our society, that's a lot of what, you know, all these people who don't really believe in God, they have the Pledge of Allegiance, they're one nation under God, and they don't believe it. They just say it. They've memorized the pledge that way, and so they say it that way. But we need to be devoted to God, and it needs to be more than just lip service with us. We need to not just be saying it. When we're singing our songs, are we meaning what we're singing? Or are we just opening our mouths and the words are tumbling out and we don't even know what we're singing? When there's prayer being led, are we listening to what's being prayed so that at the end we can say amen, which means, in essence, I agree with it. Let it be what has been said. So be it. Are we doing that? Or are we not paying any attention to what was prayed? And the fellow up here may have prayed that all of us die in a big explosion this afternoon, and then at the end we say amen. We don't know what he said. I know we didn't have any prayers like that, but we don't know somehow. We don't pay attention to what was said, but we still say amen at the end. We don't even know what's been prayed. Jason, in his prayer, I thought it was wonderful. He thanked God for our enemies and ask that we treat them the way we would treat others that are not our enemies, of course. Did you hear that part of the prayer? Did you say amen to that? Or did you not even pay attention to the fact that he said that? You just said amen at the end because we're supposed to say amen at the end. See, are we really acknowledging God and paying attention to what's going on? Or are we just giving lip service? Draw nigh to Him with our mouth, but our heart is far from Him. What are we doing? And then the final thing that I want us to consider is, and this I think applies far more to the football than it does to the inauguration. I don't think it applies much to the inauguration. But certainly with sporting events, and it's not just football, and I don't know what it is about fans. You know, fan is short for fanatic. And a fanatic is one who has gone to extremes. And in essence, they are crazy about something. And when we're crazy, we do crazy things. And that's why we call those folks fans, because they do some crazy things. Are we fanatical about God? Are we fans? Are we like those folks And you'll see some, if you turn on the TV at all and watch any of that football game this evening, you will see some of those folks who are willing to be weird. They're willing to be weird. They're willing to look different than everybody. I mentioned those guys up in Green Bay where it's snowing and it's 20 below zero, and they're standing out there with their shirts off, and they got a big, you know, P on this guy's chest and a big A over here, and it spells out the Packers because that's their team. You know, and what's wrong with those two? They're so weird. As Christians, we're supposed to be weird. The world needs to look at us and see us and go, what is wrong with those people? They are so weird. Not that we go and take our shirts off and paint on our chest or anything like that, but we're supposed to be different from the world. Veronica was telling me, we were talking in the car on the way home from the trip last night, and she said, you know, talking about, you know, her friends, well, why don't you cuss, and why don't you do this, and why don't you do that? She said, well, I'm a Christian, I don't do those things. And they said, well, that's kind of weird. When we don't do the things that other people out there in the world do, they're going to think we're weird. And that's okay. We need to be willing to be weird because of our devotion and dedication to God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He says we're supposed to be weird. We are a people that belong to God. And we need to show that. Those folks, I know, we mentioned the Green Bay team, they're also the ones that wear these big hats on their heads that are shaped like a wedge of cheese. I don't know, you know, guess because they're from Wisconsin, which is the land of cheese. But you see, all these people do all this kind of crazy stuff. You know, they're out there doing this wave thing. And the Atlanta Braves are out there doing their tomahawk chop. And every team, they're doing this. And if you just sat and looked, say, that's weird. Why are they doing that? But they're doing it because they are dedicated and devoted to what they're supporting. Are we dedicated and devoted enough to God that we're willing to do things that the rest of the world considers weird? Because if we're going to be Christians, we're going to have to. We're going to have to be willing to be uncomfortable. We're going to have to be willing to be weird compared to what the world's standards are. We're going to have to be willing to give our attention and our money. We're going to have to be willing to acknowledge God, not just in word, but in our actions as well. We're going to have to do these things if we're going to truly be pleasing to Him. Are you? Are you dedicated? Are you as dedicated to God as these folks are to these other worldly pastimes? And, you know, the inauguration, there's an inauguration every 4 years. There's a Super Bowl every year. There's only one trip to heaven. You better take it. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in initial obedience to Him, yes, it's weird that in order to become a Christian, you've got to be dunked in water. I said, what? Why, that is weird. Maybe. But that's what God told us to do. We're going to be willing to do what He told us to do, even if other people think it's weird. Well, why can't I just have a little dab on my face? Why can't I just have some sprinkles on me? Because that's not what God said to do. It's weird to admit that we have sinned and say, I'm going to repent of that sin. That's weird because most folks don't ever want to admit they haven't done anything wrong, much less decide they're going to repent of it and turn away from it. It may be kind of weird to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But He told us that if we'll confess Him, He'll confess us before His Father. But if we won't confess Him, if we deny Him, then He'll deny us. So those things may seem a little odd to the world, but they are what God has called us to do. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't shown the devotion, you haven't devoted yourself to doing the things that God wants us to do as Christians, you may need to do that today. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.